As you can see, I'm one of the old guys here. And I don't have the gift of gab, so I like to read from my notes. But I'm at a serious disadvantage because my teleprompter didn't show up. Anyway, you guys are used to that. So today we're going to be in Psalm 23. And the entire 23rd Psalm is an analogy with us being sheep. We're going to learn a lot about sheep today. It was penned by King David, who was himself a shepherd. And so he speaks from his own experience. Sheep is a generic term. First, there are lambs, which become sheep when they turn 1 year of age. The female sheep are called ewes. The male sheep are called rams. There's a quick note about lambs that I like a lot. Remember the first thing that Jesus told Peter when he was kind of restoring him in John 21? He said, "Feed my lambs." And then the second thing he said to Peter was, "Take care of my sheep." And then the third thing he said was, "Feed my sheep." Isn't that kind of an interesting side note that we see Jesus talking about lambs? So I was just thinking, if anyone here has been a Christian less than a year, you're still a lamb, huh? And Jesus has spoken specifically to you that Jesus wants to take care of you and feed you. He wants us to, you know, if you have seen someone become born again, you know, it's kind of your parental, spiritual responsibility to help feed those lambs and take care of them. And for the rest of us, it's a good reminder, you know, that we can come alongside and help as well. Give them whatever they need to grow up and mature in the Lord. All right. All right, we're going to take a peek at a lamb. We have, Maddie's given us some good pictures there. Isn't he a cutie? Or she a cutie, whichever it is. And then we're going to see a picture of a sheep. And look how wide their eyes, way across there. And so they can't see. They can see peripherally very good, but they can't see very good right in front of them. And look at those ears. Those are some big ears. They have really good hearing. Unfortunately, that works in their disfavor most of the time because they get scared, they get jittery. All right. So we're going to talk about sheep today. Sheep are senseless, dumb animals. Oh my goodness. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about me? They get easily lost. They have no internal compass. They cannot find their way home. They have to be led to food and water. Well, that's the first thing about sheep. They're senseless, dumb animals. Second thing, they're defenseless. What in the world? How do they? They have no horns, you know, except if you're a ram, you have horns. But the ewes do not. And they're extremely vulnerable to predators. All they can do is huddle together. So the shepherd trains the sheepdogs to keep them huddled together. Number three, sheep are fearful and easily frightened. Because they have good hearing, noises frighten them. They're jittery. They can see, like I said, they can see sideways very well, but they can't see very well in front of them. So they're afraid to move forward. What do I do? Oh my goodness, they just follow the herd. There's one story about this herd of sheep, and the first sheep goes over the cliff, and the second sheep goes over the cliff, and the third sheep, 1,500 sheep fall over the cliff, and they're just following the herd. Well, luckily, you know, because they were landing on their dead, only 400 died. Oh my goodness. So it pays not to follow the herd sometimes, right? Sheep are fragile animals and they need lots of care. If they get turned on their backside, they are cast, meaning they can't turn back over and can even die if they don't get rescued by their shepherd. All right, here we go. Let's read Psalm 23, and then I'll pray and we'll unpack the verses from this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is out of New King James, in case you're wondering about maybe differences. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, here we are, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your instructions to us. We want to learn from this psalm. We thank you for King David, his life as a shepherd, the things you taught him and the things you wanted us to know about being sheep. And we want to learn, Lord, how to live our lives for your glory. And we just, you know, when we see these things, it's some of it's kind of hard to take, you know, it's just like, that can't be me. But sure enough, Lord, you want to help us understand how needy we are. And we are needy people, Lord. We need you every moment. We need you every day. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit who lives in us and helps us to understand, you know, how you want us to live our lives, and that you're satisfying our need here through your Holy Spirit and your Word and through this wonderful spiritual family. Lord, we just don't want to take any of it for granted. We want to look to you all our days, Lord. We want to, each day, we want to entrust our life to you, and thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The Lord is my shepherd. We belong to the Lord, huh? That's encouraging. He's my shepherd. He belongs to us. He's a good shepherd. He knows us. He is a personal God to each one of us. Isn't that encouraging? God knows just exactly how he made you, all the things, all the traits, all the thoughts, all the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows what your future looks like. He knows what your past looks like. He's personal to each one of us. In Luke 15, Jesus teaches the parable of the lost sheep, how he left the 99 to go and search for his one lost sheep. Sheep can wander, they get lost, can't find the way back home. But none of us is just a number with Jesus, right? It's not, oh, it's just one, let him go. No, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's going to go out there and looking for us, to rescue us, to help us, to get back to where we belong. We're just like that. We're needy people. We need our good shepherd. Sheep depend on their shepherd. They have a special bond with that shepherd. That's the way God wants to be with us, looking to him, dependent upon him for everything. When I've been in a stressful situation, you know, I really like Psalm 20, and it's been helpful. It says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, may the Lord answer you. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from his sanctuary and give you support from Zion. I like this example from the Word when it talks about the centurion. And the centurion has been sick for a long time and is near death. And in this distressful situation, he comes to Jesus. Jesus volunteers, I'll go and help. Centurion says, no, just say the word and my servant will be healed. My son will be healed. Jesus, you know, was very encouraged by that response. And it's like the centurion's believing Jesus for great things. And it's like he shows his faith. Lord, you just say the word and my son will be healed. And I just think that's just such an encouraging, you know, kind of goes along with Psalm 20, but the Lord answered, may he send you help from his sanctuary. And I know there's kind of a gray area here, you know, it's like, well, is that the will of God that he actually wants to do that? But sometimes, you know, sometimes God just going to say, believe me for great things. Just go ahead and pray great things. Go ahead and pray about this situation and, you know, ask for help, you know, send me help. And so I just think sometimes let's just be courageous. Let's just be courageous when we're thinking about the Lord Jesus and what he can do and just pray for great things. I understand that it's a gray area sometimes, you know, as far as, oh, is this the will of God? But let's, you know, when God moves in your heart to pray something, you know, a great thing, a helpful thing, a situation where you're in distress, I just think go ahead and go for it. Do it. Let's believe Jesus for the good things he wants to do in our lives. We shall not want. We have the best shepherd for our life. We have everything we need. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep have to be led to green pastures, but they do not easily lie down. Sheep won't lie down if they're fearful of a predator or if they're being attacked by bugs and bugs and parasites in their ears, or if they're not well fed and still hungry. But as we see here, the sheep are lying down. Isn't that encouraging? Even though they don't like to lie down, they're nervous about lying down. This is what we see. Praise the Lord. That's the result of the good shepherd taking care of the sheep. They're content to lie down in those green pastures. We're so blessed to have the good shepherd looking after our lives. He leads me beside still waters. Then the question is, why still waters? Why not running water? But the sheep are afraid of losing their balance and falling over and becoming cast. And when they're cast, they can't get up. They're just wobbling around trying to figure it out. So our good shepherd leads us to still waters. Isn't that good? I like that. Jesus knows our fears. He knows how to lead us. And then our thirst for him can be satisfied. Matthew 5:6 says, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Similarly, we're satisfied by the word of God. Isn't that true? Every one of us can say, amen. The word of God is a satisfying thing in my life. That is so true. That's where our sustenance comes from. I like this word from Jesus in Deuteronomy 8:3. It says, people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is a verse to take home, isn't it? Man, we need the word every day. We need God talking to us. We need that input because he knows right where we're at. And he knows how to work in our heart a verse that's going to help us for that day, for that moment. And so we need our Bibles. We need to be reading our Bibles. Verse 3, he restores my soul. In Psalm 42, David says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For sheep, this is a term that we just talked about. Sheep has gotten cast down. They can't get up. They're just stuck there, and they may die if they're not rescued by the good shepherd. And when we think about it, it's like, wow, all that wool, especially if it's thick wool, when they're down, it's impossible to get back up. They just wander, have their legs going back and forth. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He comes after that sheep, right? He's going to use his staff to pull that sheep back up, get him back on his feet. He's the healer of our souls. He knows how to heal broken people. How many are broken people? We're all razor. We're all broken. We need his healing. I'll never forget my conversation with my older brother after I had given my life to Jesus. He wondered why I had done that. And I told him, I need help. I need, there's lots of things in my life that I need help with. And he's like, you're a wimp. I'm like, oh man, this conversation is not going the way I thought it was going to go. He goes, I'm independent. I don't need any help. And it's like, but I need help. That's why I asked Jesus to come and help me. I needed help then, and I need daily help now. Every day, Jesus knows how to help us. We don't mature beyond that, right? We need help every day. We need help every moment. There's nothing that Jesus is... There's that verse in Psalm 37 that says, Jesus cares about every detail of your life. Isn't that encouraging? He cares about every detail. And so it's not like, oh, that's just such a little thing. I'm not going to pray about that. I'm not going to think about that. Like, no. Let Jesus be in on every detail. He's already interested. He's always interested. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So what do we know about sheep? Sheep left to themselves go down harmful paths, just like it says in Isaiah 53. That's a familiar verse, right? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. That's what it is. That's the truth about us. We can get going the wrong direction. And God says, hey, the good shepherd knows how to get you going on the right path, the path of righteousness. That's what we want to be on. Jesus is the one that's going to help us to get there. He knows how to get us grazing in the green pasture. That's what we want. And John 10:27 says, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. When sheep hear the call of the shepherd, they go in a straight line toward him. They know his voice and they want to go where he is and follow him. That's a pretty encouraging description for us, isn't it? Because that's what we want. When Jesus calls to us, we want to follow him. Go straight to Jesus. Go do what he wants us to do. Our good shepherd leads you in his paths. There are so many great verses about how God wants to show us the right path to be on. We could spend, I don't know how many hours we could spend going over all the path verses in the Bible. And then you probably have your own favorite. I like Psalm 25. It says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Isn't that encouraging? Jesus wants to point out the path for you to follow. That is true for every one of us. It's like we all have different things going on in our lives, but Jesus has a path for you. That's an encouraging thought. And verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. This verse mentions a dark valley. It does have the valley of the shadow of death. Oh my goodness. But before we talk about how this pertains to sheep, this is such a quoted verse to most of us. Let's face something here. Dark valleys are just part of life, right? And the question is how we're going to respond. Is it okay to vent raw emotion to God? Is that an okay thing to do? When we look at, we certainly see it in the Psalms. David expressing his raw emotion when troubles come. Let's look at Psalm 55, 5 through 7. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How about vulnerable is that, right? He's so vulnerable in the Psalms. Psalm 62, David writes again, pour out your heart to God, for he is your refuge. And that's the tone of verse 4 as well. When he's in a dark valley, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. Isn't that that's the thought David wants us to focus on, right? Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Let's notice the pronoun change between verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, it's It's he in verse 3. But in verse 4, it's you in the verses that follow. You are with me. Isn't that encouraging? All of a sudden, he's going to get more personal. He's going to move through the psalm, but then he's going to get real personal. I am with you. In those dark valleys, I am with you. That's an encouraging thing. When we're in the midst of trouble, it's kind of hard to put on that brave face. So it's time to pour out your heart to God. He is your refuge. But eventually, it's also time to remind ourselves of truth. Romans 5, God tells us that our problems and trials help us develop endurance. With endurance comes strength of character, and character hope. Hope does not disappoint, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Isn't that a good thought? It's like, okay, yeah, I know we're going through trials, and trials are tough, but at the same time, they are doing something beneficial for our life, and that we can take heart of. Valleys are also like a refiner's fire. Psalm 66:10 reminds us that God allows tests in our lives so we'll be purified like silver. In 1 Peter 1:7 and 8, God sums up the refiner's fire. Trials show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. That's a tough one, isn't it? Because we know what refiner's fire means. Like, it's like, oh my goodness, the things in our life are really increasing in temperature, way, 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 way up. But that fire is burning away the impurities, the things in our life that Jesus wants to take away. He wants to refine us to be, you know, purified, to be more like him. Isn't that encouraging? Jesus wants us to be more like him. But it takes the refiner's fire. It takes trials. And so we have to accept that. That's just the way life is. Okay, back to sheep. How this valley fits into the lives of the sheep. And one of my good things that I was, as I was preparing, is this book by Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He's the shepherd, so he has lots of good thoughts about what all these verses mean for the shepherd. Those verses, Philip Keller talks about how he's taking his sheep in the summer from the valley to the high ground. And so to get to the high ground with sheep, I mean, you got this big herd. You can't just take them over these mountainous paths, right? You got to take them through, you know, broad valleys that are going to stretch, you know, to where you want to get to go. And so that's kind of what he thinks that verse is really talking about. But there's, you know, when they're going through those valleys, there's full of predators ready to try and pounce on the sheep. The shepherd has to use his rod. If we got a picture of a rod. There it is. You can beat with it, or you can throw it. Some of these, Philip Keller's talking about these shepherds that could really throw and launch that rod a long ways. Keep those predators away. The staff, like we were talking about, is used to rescue the sheep. Pull that sheep up when it's cast down. Or fallen into a ravine or something. All right, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And this verse also relates to those summer months on the plateaus, and is sometimes referred to as a table. That's where the grazing is going to be good during those summer months, way up high. You're going to find lots of green grass there for the sheep. But the high country also had its share of predators, and so that's that. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, because the predators are still going to be around the sheep. The shepherd has his work cut out for him, protecting the sheep grazing in the presence of their enemies. For us, this kind of goes back to what Sean was sharing a few weeks back how we have to be looking to our good shepherd to protect us from spiritual enemies, from Satan, who says he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we have our own predators, huh, that are out to try and cause problems for us, serious problems. So we have that spiritual protection from the Lord we need to look to. The sheep were not only terrorized by the predators, though, but we talked about how they have these flies that get in their nose, and we have these parasites that get in their ears. And that's when it's talking about the oil and how the shepherd will use olive oil as a repellent to these pests that terrorize the sheep. Yeah, for the shepherd, each sheep needs a lot of care and attention. And imagine that, every sheep. I mean, you never know which one, you know, if it's shaking its head, well, does that mean it's got some kind of problem? And you have to care about each individual sheep. That's encouraging for us, though, right? It's not like we're this just big herd, this big spiritual family. Jesus cares about each one of us. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like this. One Bible teacher said that follow me was a military term, kind of like the goodness and mercy of God is coming after you. It's pretty cool. Hunting you down to show you his goodness and mercy. God is relentless in his pursuit of us. Doesn't this sound like the gospel? God pursuing us. He's just after us. He wants to help us understand how we can be saved, how we can have help for our lives, if we will only turn to him and believe and accept the gospel. During my college days, I was pursuing truth, which I thought could be found in philosophy, the pursuit of truth. And so I wasn't pursuing God. I was pursuing truth. In one of my classes, though, one of the philosophers being studied put forward his thoughts on the existence of God. And I said, what? God in a philosophy class? That can't be. I was shaken a bit, but still on my quest to discover the reality of truth, absolute truth. The problem was that none of these philosophers took the position that they had found absolute truth. The existentialist said that happiness comes from merely a choice. You make your choices, and that's the happiness that you can have. Not very authoritative, huh? Just make your choice. Who knows what that choice may lead to, right? As my time in my philosophy major advanced, my advisor is like, I'm pursuing truth, and he's trying to help me as I'm moving, you know, in this major. And he just looks at me and says, just take a position. Take a position and argue it. And I'm like, what kind of an answer is that? It doesn't matter whether it's true. Just take the position and argue it. And it's like, I'm done with this. I am done with this. I am out of this major. This is not what I was looking for. I wanted the right position, not just any position. Oh, man. The position of absolute truth, that's what I wanted. So I still had my childhood Bible that I started to read. And Jesus talked about a narrow path. It was like, all of a sudden, wow, look at this. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. I was ready for a change. Jesus says that his way is the truth. Okay. So I changed my goal. I was looking for a religious experience that would change my life. I didn't use the word sin, but I knew in my heart that something was wrong with my life. My mom talked me into going to my childhood church one Sunday. When I got there, I met one of my old friend's mother, and she said the most amazing thing to me. She said, my son has had a religious experience that changed his life. And I'm like, what? That's just what I'm looking for. I didn't say that to her, but that's just what I was thinking. It's like, you got to be kidding. And so sure enough, she gave me all this information, and I got in touch with my buddy. And so we met up, and he shared the gospel with me from a gospel tract. He challenged me to look at my life and to turn away from being the king of my life, turn my life over to Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins, and to believe and accept him for his promise of eternal life. Yes, God had been. God had been pursuing me, just like the verse says. I believed and accepted Jesus as my Savior and received his promise of everlasting life. The next day, everything changed. I stopped cursing. Within a few days, I had quit smoking. And that, some of that was cigarettes, some of it other things. Being vulnerable here. Yeah, and so I started helping my mom with chores around the house. Oh my goodness. She goes, "What is up with that?" I mowed the neighbor's lawn. The hard one was telling my gang friends, you know, that I had become a Christian. They were not interested. I got like a 7-page letter from my best friend, like, "You are crazy. What have you done?" And Shirley was like, "I can't believe he spent 7 pages telling you that." I kept it because, you know, we weren't married at the time. But so God answered my prayer. The grace of God had transformed my life. I not only thought I was a new person, I was a new person. I was a new person born again by the grace and pursuit of God. I imagine that all of us here have similar testimonies. But if there's anyone here visiting today who has not yet yielded to God and his goodness and mercy, make the decision to believe and accept the transformative power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Receive his forgiveness and be on that narrow path that will allow you to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Lord, we, God, you're the only one. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for giving up your life, sacrificing your life. You are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we thank you for that picture, Lord, of just that innocent Lamb. Lord, we just want to honor you with our lives. We want to look to you for help. We thank you for the Holy Spirit you gave us. Thank you for his presence in our hearts, Lord, that comforts us and helps us and leads us to you. And we just ask you, Lord Jesus, that we would be more committed to your word every day, more committed to prayer, more committed to loving one another the way you want us to. Help us. Help us to be your sheep. You're our shepherd. And lead us down your path of righteousness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.